It's the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. Matter of fact, third chapter. Revelation chapter 3. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for just being who you are. The Apostle John identified for us who you are. And he said, God is love. He said, you are love. So it is so good to have love with us this evening. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I pray that every person under the sound of my voice this evening would have ears to hear and a heart to receive. Hallelujah. Now, Holy Spirit, I yield to you. I yield to you. And I invite you to speak through me. Use me for your glory this evening. Help me to communicate to the hearers your will and what you want said in this service. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father, for the call and the anointing on my life that comes from you. And I endeavor to move in that tonight. And Father, we will give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I want to, I'm not really not planning on being before you very long, but I'm going to go with this until I sense a release. Amen. And then we'll quit. But I want to, I'm just trying to think how I want to present this to you. Every one of you that's listening or watching me over the internet, live streaming, those of you that's here in the sanctuary, I think you recognize that we are definitely living in unusual times. You yourself have heard me, those of you that are here, heard me share that in my lifetime, I've never seen anything quite like it. And I've had others say the same thing. Matter of fact, I've had folks that's older than I am have said that. One thing I do want you to know and understand, grab a hold of this, we are definitely living in the last days. And I believe that we are living in the last of the last days. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe that we're living in the last of the last days. But you know, the people of God is not supposed to be walking in darkness. Amen. But we are supposed to walk in the light. Amen. We are supposed to walk in the light. And remember in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul prayed for us that we would walk in the light, that we would be in his prayer, that we would be enlightened. In other words, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we would be in the know. and be able to discern some things that are happening. You know, Christians are not supposed to be panicking. Let me say that one again. Christians are not supposed to be panicking. What we as Christians are to be doing today, first of all, is getting close to God, staying close to God. Amen. And praying in constant communication with God. Amen. Now, I don't know, maybe some of you did, but this past Saturday, I watched the spaceship lift off. And that was amazing. Oh, that was amazing. That thrilled me, praise God. That thrilled me to watch that as they lifted off and heading to the space station. And thank God they made it there safely. But here's the thing. Listen to this. On the way to the space station, they was in constant communication with control back here on the earth. They were constantly communicating with one another back and forth. The guys didn't say, okay, fellas, we're on our way now, and we'll call you when we get to the space station. We'll call you. We'll call you and let you know we got there safely. No. Every inch of the way, control knew where they were. They knew how well the capsule was operating, if it was operating properly. They knew everything there is to know because it was designed that way. Can I get an amen on that? It was designed that way. Those guys, those two guys, they was out in space out there, and all they had to look at was each other. Now, I don't know, they may have had some visuals on the inside. I don't know everything that was on the inside of that capsule, but they had each other, and they could talk to each other. But you know what? They were together in the capsule. Everybody else was thousands and thousands of miles away. But yet they was in constant communication with control. And that's the way it is with us. Now, God is not thousands and thousands of miles away from us. He's always with us. Amen? He is always with us. He's always near. Praise God, hallelujah. But let me tell you something. We as believers must always be in constant communication with the Lord. You hear me? Not just when you come to church on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights or whatever time that you come. We are supposed to be in constant communication with God. Are you still with me? Please grab a hold of what I'm saying. Constant communication with God. You're in communication with God when you're on your knees. You're in communication with God when you're lying in your bed. You're in communication with God when you're driving down the road. You're in communication with God all the time. I'm so glad to know that I don't always, everybody say always. Always. I'm so glad to know that I don't always have to be on my knees in order to communicate with God. Amen. Now I believe in neology. Did you hear what I said? I believe in neology. We need to fall on our knees sometime, humble ourselves before the Lord. But I'm so glad we don't just have to be on our knees in order to talk to Him, in order to communicate with Him, in order to fellowship with Him. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's important, hear me good, it's important for us as believers to be strong. Strong in God. Strong in God. Strong in God. Hallelujah. Notice what I didn't say. I didn't say feel strong in God. Because there'll be some times you don't feel too strong. Sometimes you have to deal with stuff and take authority over stuff, and you may not feel too strong, but you're not moved by your feelings. You move by your faith. You move by what you believe. You move by what the Bible says. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Listen, I'm being real with you. Sometimes stuff get on your nerves. Am I the only one? Sometimes things can try to aggravate you. But I'm still in control. If you believe that, go ahead and say it. Say, I'm still in control. Hallelujah. I'm still in control. Hallelujah. Because I control the words that come out of my mouth. I control how I act or react to any given situation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I control whether I grab something and throw it across the room, bust out the TV screen. Because I lost control of myself. Stay in control. Look at somebody and say, stay in control.
Stay in control.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Stay in control. Stay strong. Praise God. Amen. Well, we haven't even read the scriptures, have we? Not yet. Not yet. I want to, I told you to go to Revelation chapter 3. In chapter 3 of Revelation, verse 1, it says, and to the angel of the church at Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Ooh, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Now let me tell you something. And by the way, Jesus is saying that to this church. Now, when Jesus say you're dead, you dead. And he wasn't talking about physical death here. He was talking about spiritual death. He was telling this church, oh, you have a reputation for being alive. Everybody know you got it going on. You draw the crowds. Everybody's talking about your church. But I learned a long time ago, it ain't so much what people say about Word of Life, it's what the Lord Jesus Christ says about us. Can I get one more amen on that? One more amen on that, because you have to understand, let me help you with something more. I think most of y'all know this in here, possibly this watching by way of live streaming as well. My name is Pastor James Redfern Jr. Okay, that's me. That's me, okay? I just want to let you know something. I do pastor Word of Life Fellowship Church. I'm going to let you know something else. I'm not in charge here. Oh, Pastor, I didn't know that. Who run the church? Your deacons? No. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not in charge here. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ, somebody shout hallelujah. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd of the church. You can say it this way. He's the chief pastor. And if the chief pastor say you dead, guess what? You did. Because nobody knows the church like the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing is hid from his eyes. Absolutely nothing. So it blesses me when people say nice things about us. But you know what? What's really important to me is what Jesus is saying about us. Hallelujah. It's what he is saying about us. Hallelujah. So if you have a reputation like this church had, Sardis, of being alive, but the Lord says you're not, then you're not. But guess what? Some folks can talk bad about you. We've had people say not so nice things about us too. But I don't let that bother me either. Goes right back to what I said earlier. It's what Jesus Christ says. It's what he thinks about us. I want you to know that as a pastor here, I am here to please him. I want to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for from the Lord. Y'all hear me?
Amen.
Amen. That's what I'm looking for from him. Amen. But Jesus told him, man, I tell you what, that's a stinging rebuke. Let me read it again. Verse 1, chapter 3. Revelation. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. You see what he said there? I know what you're doing. I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing in the light, and I see what you're doing in the darkness. I see what you're doing outside, and I see what you're doing behind closed doors. I know your heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but I look on your heart. I look at your heart. Y'all here, ain't you? Glory to God. He says, I know your works and that you have a name that you are alive. He says, but you are dead. But now verse 2 is really where I'm going. Verse 2 is where I'm going. Hallelujah. He says, be watchful. And strengthen the things that remain. Listen. Well, let me go ahead and finish the verse. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. Now, listen. He said they're ready to die. That means they had a little life left. There's a little life left. And Jesus is saying, you can take this little life that you have left and you strengthen it. Strengthen it. But he said, it's ready to die. If you don't do something about it, it's going to die. And he goes on to say, for I have not found your works perfect before God. This church could do better. This church could have done better. Oh, by the way, we all know that the church is not the building. The church is the people. It's the people that make up the church. The building the facilities are the place where we assemble in the name of the Lord. But we, the people, are the church. When God looks down on us, he's not looking at the building. He's looking at what's inside the building or who's inside the building. Glory to God. Glory to God. So my subject this evening is strengthen those things that remain. Let us strengthen those things that remain. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Matter of fact, I'm just going to go ahead and read the next, I believe, four verses, because it's very good. Verse 3 says, remember therefore how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Oh my goodness. Do y'all see that word, repent? You don't hear folks talking about repentance too much nowadays. Because when you talk about repentance, somebody's going to get offended. You better believe they are. Because not everybody wants to repent. Repentance simply means, or to repent simply means, you change your mind about the direction you are going. You change your mind about the things you are doing. And you repent of them. And you turn around and you go in the opposite direction, which is the God direction. You were walking away from God, and now you're turning around and you're walking towards God or walking with God. Amen. Hallelujah. And you acknowledge that what you were doing, or the way you were are living or were living, you acknowledge that they were wrong, it was sin. And not just say, well, you know, I had a little problem. I had a little problem. Call it for what it is. Hallelujah. No wonder it says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if we do what? Y'all know what it says. If we what? If we confess. And when you confess something, you're acknowledging that it is true. You're acknowledging that it's a fact. Right? You're acknowledging that before God. So it says if we confess what? Our sins. Hold up just a minute. It says when we confess our sins, says nothing about excuses. Well, Lord, you know how I was raised. Lord, you know what happened to me when I was a child. That's the reason I'm so mean. That's the reason I stay mad all the time. You know I can't help it. No, the Bible says you confess it. If we confess our sins, and you were saying it earlier, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. I'm so glad to know he's faithful, aren't you? Because the Bible said we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen. We're not going to stand up here so sanctimonious and act like we never made a mistake. We got it all together. No. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm so glad I have someone to go to. Glory to God. So we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me tell you something. When you're clean, when you've been cleansed from all unrighteousness, you don't need an excuse. We don't need an excuse. You don't need an excuse for what you've been delivered from. Hallelujah. He's faithful. He's faithful. Shout it out. He's faithful. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, too many times, you know, we think, well, I know I need to get right with God in this area of my life, but I don't know if God will hear me. I've been before him too many times before. I just don't know. No. Stop listening to that lie. You go on before God, confess this thing like the Word of God says. He already promised you that he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But here's what I want you to do. Now, I didn't know I was going to be over in 1 John 1:9 this evening, but I am, at least for a moment. But here's what I want you to do. You repent. You change your mind about what you've been doing. You change your mind about where you've been going. You change your mind about what you've been saying. That's called repentance. Lord, I repent of this. I change my mind. I'm not going in that direction. And I look to you to help me and to strengthen me. Because the Bible does say we can do all things through Christ. See, that's how we live our Christian life. It's through him. It's through Christ. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Where we make a mistake too many times is we're trying to do it by ourselves. And we fall time after time after time. And then we get frustrated and say, well, man, what's the use? You know, I can't live a Christian life. I can't live for God. I've tried. That's the problem. You are trying. Live it through him. Live it through him. You hear me? Live it through him. See, it's in him we live and move. And have our being. Let me say that again. It's in him we live and move and have our being. Don't you think for half a second that Jesus came to this earth and suffered the way he did and crucified on the cross, gave his life, was buried. Don't you think he did all that suffering for us and he can't keep us? He is more than able to keep us. Then that's when you have to step up and use your authority. You repented of your sins and you confessed 1 John 1:9 and glory to God. You feeling good about yourself. All of a sudden, the devil put this thought in your head. Now, I know this has happened to somebody either in here or that's watching by way of live streaming, because I'm completely away from my notes for a moment. But let me say this. You know, you're doing good, you're excited, and then all of a sudden, you know, you You're by yourself now in your house or your apartment or wherever you may be. And all of a sudden, the devil says, it comes to your mind, oh, remember that website you used to go to? Hey, why don't you check it out? And your flesh is saying, yeah, man, yeah, feed me, feed me, feed me. I want some action. I want some excitement. But that's the time when you rise up on the inside and say, no! I've been set free in Jesus' name. But Pastor, what if I don't feel free? Don't be concerned about how you feel. Know that you're free. Say, no, I won't do that. I refuse to be a slave to pornography. Because whatever you yield yourself to, you become its slave. Make up your mind. Say, no, no, I will not be a slave to pornography. I won't be a slave to anything, alcohol, whatever the case may be. Refuse to be a slave. So I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Devil, get out of my face. What did Jesus say? Get thee behind me, Satan. You remember he was tempted too? The Bible tells us he was tempted in all points just like we are. Yet without sin. Hallelujah. He dealt with the devil in Matthew chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 4 and where he was tempted. Notice, you can read it later, but notice how he dealt with the devil. He did not give the devil any ground whatsoever. Even in his weakened physical state, having not eaten for 40 days and 40 nights, he still didn't yield to the devil because he knew he had authority over him. And we as Christians got to understand we have authority over the devil. Whatever in the past that used to enslave you, if you are in Christ today, know that you have authority over that. But unless you exercise that authority, you will still be like a slave. You have to exercise that authority. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. You take a stand. You stand up. You stand up. You do whatever it takes. I will not be enslaved by this again. And you have the Holy Spirit right there to help you. Because you're living it through Him. You're living it through Christ. You're living through Christ. You're living through Christ. Hallelujah. He already promised us. He says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Hallelujah. We're living in a time now when folk, and oh dear God, it's gotten bad in the church. It's gotten bad in the church as well as the world. I'm more concerned about the church because the world is going to do things of the world. But we've been led to, I say we, I'm talking about not me personally, but I'm talking about some in the church, have been led to believe that they can't live a holy life. You know, you got to have some sex. You got to have some sex. Well, can I help you? You know, what I'm about to say ain't very popular, not even among Christians. But you know, if you stop watching them movies where they're all in the bed, doing things that they shouldn't be, getting you all stirred up and heated up when you don't have to be. Remember Joseph? Joseph didn't say, "What's happening, sister? Think I'm handsome, don't you? What can I do for you?" No. Joseph, no. He got out of there. He didn't hang around to negotiate. Matter of fact, he didn't, because you have to understand, listen to me, what time we got? Oh, wow. we're going to have to finish this another time. But I know that the Lord is speaking to someone as I minister this. But you have to understand something about Joseph. Joseph knew himself. Know yourself. Understand something. The very things that you did before you got saved, that had a grip on you before you got saved, those very things the devil would try to bring them back and offer them to you again. He'll try to offer them to you again. And you have to understand, your flesh still wants to do those things. That's the reason the Apostle Paul says, "I keep my flesh under." He said, "I buffet it. I keep it under. I don't let my flesh rule. I keep my flesh under the submission of my spirit." So understand something. Joseph knew himself. Joseph knew, hey, listen, if I hang around here trying to tell her why what she's doing is wrong, and why this wouldn't be right because she's a married woman and I work for Potiphar, you know, just trying to reason with her and everything. Why? Now you have to understand, this woman standing there, she's already in the mood. It's not negotiating time, it's get out of there time. I hope y'all out there shouting hallelujah. Because, see, Joseph knew the whole time he's trying to reason with this woman, she's going to be getting closer because ain't no reasoning with that woman. She had her mind made up. Ooh, I like this young fella. Notice he didn't even take his coat with him. She grabbed his coat. He didn't say, "Whoa, sister, hang on just a minute. Give me my coat." Sometimes you just have to get out of there. Forget the coat. Forget the coat. Get out of there. Have the mind that Joseph had. I will not sin against my God. I won't sin against my God. So he got out of there, left his coat. Well, we probably know the story. The woman lied on him. He landed up in prison. Okay. But he did not sin against his God. Joseph is living proof. As a Christian, you do not have to sin. And some folks will call this old-fashioned preaching. I just call it Bible preaching. Call it what you want. But really, the only person you should be sleeping with is your wife or your husband, according to the Word of God. Well, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, and I know you're right, because I've been reading that for years, but I just can't do it. That's the reason in him we live and move and have our being. You need to surrender that to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to give it to him and take authority over it and say, I will not do it. You don't know how powerful your words are. When you say, listen, when you make this statement, I will not do that, powerful force comes into play. God comes on the scene to help you. To help you. We have a helper. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, glory to God. Well, I got off over there. Praise God. And I don't apologize for that. Hallelujah. It's good anyway, isn't it? Praise the name of the Lord. But we got to strengthen those things that remain. Hallelujah. Strengthen those things that remain. We're in the last of the last days. I truly believe that. And it's time for us to get it together. We can't be waffling back and forth. We got to live for him and walk in his strength and his power. Totally convinced that you can do it. If the devil convinces you you can't, you won't. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen, amen. Well, did this bless y'all? I hope it blessed y'all too. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. Oh, how we give you glory. How we give you glory. How we give you glory. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.